Fairfield County Live and Local, presented by the Sono Collections. John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. I'm going to see this guy next Friday and hopefully maybe Saturday too at Westfield Music Bowl. It's Ben Atkin from Goose. Thanks for being here, dude.
Oh, yeah, John, good to see you, man. Thanks for having me on.
I know, man. You know, it's how are you feeling? How's the band feeling? How's rehearsals going? You guys excited for tour? Tell me what's going on in the world of Goose right now.
Yeah, everything's great. I mean, we just, you know, had the release of Arrow the other day, which is pretty exciting. We've been holding that one for a while. It's been nice. We had like a pretty intensive first part of the year. And then so it's been nice the last couple of weeks to have a little bit of time off. Each of us, I know Peter's on tour with Great Blue right now. I did a run with Elephant Proof. I know Rick was doing something with Matt Campbell for Vesudo related. So everyone's been kind of taking the time to do their side projects. And now that everything is coming back up, we spec rehearsals Monday and, you know, have our full crew and band set up, and, you know, Getty's expanded his lighting rig like crazy.
Yeah.
Some new sound things, some new gear. So we're starting on Monday, and we'll just be taking, you know, taking an opportunity to set up and just dial everything in and get ready for everything coming up this summer.
How does rehearsal work for like a real band? Cause I've been in a bunch of like, you know, whatever nonsense bands. And with my experience with that is always a hectic group chat in the text message. No one knows what day they have available. How do you guys do it? Do you like show up? Like, are the lights set up? Do you practice with lights? Like, is Getty there? Like, is it explain what a Goose rehearsal looks like now.
Yeah, that's a good question. So when I say these tech rehearsals coming up, that's kind of a different animal. That's what we do in preparation for tour on not just the musical side of things, but the whole production. Typically when we rehearse, we practice at Trevor's house, and we've gotten a pretty good setup there, so we don't have to move too much gear. So, but there's still, you know, a decent amount of setup and getting ready, and we're playing, you know, with our in-ears and all mic'd up and everything recording, just so, you know, we can hopefully get the next TED tapes.
But
rehearsals have actually been like really one of our strong points, really ever since Peter joined the band. We schedule them, and, you know, we're all busy and have very limited time in between touring. So when we schedule something, it never gets moved, or very rarely, like, we'll shift if someone has something come up. For the most part, we'll set it. Everyone knows when to be there, and everyone shows up, like, in a pretty productive mood, ready to work. And we usually always start, you know, we'll catch up, say hi, like, or, you know, we're pretty laid back. And then it usually starts with just a jam, and it'll just be, like, an open-ended jam. And whenever that is done, then we stop and are like, okay, cool. Let's, you know, we might talk about the jam that we played, or we might just get right into the material that we're going to focus on. And then we pretty much, you know, at the beginning of the rehearsal, talk about what we want to get done and plan it out. And we go through things pretty efficiently.
That's such a dream scenario, just as a musician who's played in like so many disorganized, crazy bands. I think anyone out there has played in a band before. That's like what you want every practice to go like, and yet it never does.
And I've had, like, I know what you're talking about. I've had the other side of things where, like, you know, people show up at staggered times. Someone brings like a 12 pack and starts drinking. There's like a bunch of cigarette breaks and you can't get focused. And I'm really fortunate that it's, you know, we have fun, but we're very much there to be productive and get it done. And because of that, we accomplish a lot during those times. And then another thing, just for rehearsals, when we're on tour, we have a 2-hour sound check, and that is a full 2-hour rehearsal. Very rarely do we finish those early or just like kind of noodle. There's usually a point to them, and we're usually working on gear. And in fact, the last run we went on, we busted out a whole bunch of new songs. And I don't think any of them had been done until tour soundcheck. So like we try to use our time really as efficiently as we can.
I bet, man. I mean, you guys all have a lot going on, like you were talking about. I mean, you just went on a run with your band Elephant Proof, who I saw at Park City Music Hall in Bridgeport. Was it last weekend? Was it really only that?
Yeah. Last weekend we had it was the band's like first run since, like, you know, being back in Boston, a local Boston band like 8 years ago.
Right, like you guys were a general. You were the word is the phrase is general business, if I'm correct. Band,
so,
right?
No,
well,
no.
No, sorry. You were all in a bunch of general business bands.
That's how we met. There's a lot of like Berkeley people that you get done going to like one of the most expensive schools in the world, and then you realize that you're a musician and you need to make money, and it's fucking hard. So a lot of people go right into the GB world, the general business band. It's weddings, corporate functions, private parties. And we were all doing that. And because of our schedule with all those projects, we didn't have the means to ever like get outside of Boston or really tour. We did like a couple small, you know, local festivals, but we never really were able to go on the road. So now that, you know, I've been able to have the success with Goose and get a lot of, you know, connections, both just for booking and just a lot of knowledge and experience, I've been able to, you know, get the Elephant Proof guys going again. Got some awesome things coming up, and it's only going to keep growing from here.
I mean, you guys sounded great the other day, and it's funny. I read an article about you guys, about Elephant Proof, I mean. And, you know, that obviously the band predated Goose, which you've since gone on and found a lot of success with. But it talked about how at a certain point, all members of Elephant Proof started to drift off into other projects and, you know, like other things started to take over in their lives. I'm curious, what was it about? Because you were playing in Goose and Elephant Proof at the same time for a little while. What was it about Goose that made you think like, okay, I think this is the direction I need to go in and I need to leave this other band?
Really just, it was the time and place where every member of both bands were in their lives. Everyone at Elephant Proof was kind of, you know, stuck doing these same gigs and, you know, making decent money doing it, but just like really working, just gigging all the time. And then Goose had this opportunity, you know, the goal was to tour, to see the country and, you know, get in the van and go and grind on the road, and just this total opposite thing than what I was used to. And I had really just gotten so burnt out from like the wedding corporate scene. You know, it's really tough just every day as a musician to show up and be treated like the help, and you know, you got to wear a suit and tie, and like you're literally just the entertainment, and you have to play like the same songs the same ways every time, and it's, you know, it's good money, but it's a lot of bullshit. When Rick hit me up, who I had known from Vesudo, I was in Vesudo for, you know, a decent chunk of time before leaving to go back to Boston. So when Rick called me and said that, you know, him and Trevor were getting together this new project and they wanted me on it, and you know, the idea was to tour and grow this band, I jumped on that and was, you know, very excited to do that. And obviously it was a grind for a while, and you know, many times where I didn't know if it was worth it, and you know, if I was going to go back to Boston and just like, you know, get corporate gigs and play the clubs and stuff like that. And I'm obviously very glad that, you know, it pushed through. But once Goose started touring enough, it made sense for me to move out of Boston to Connecticut to be with the guys. And once I left Boston, it made it pretty impossible for Elephant Proof to keep going.
Yeah, no, of course. You mentioned like the goal of touring with Goose right off the bat. That first tour, that Throw 'Em to the Wolves tour, that we spoke about the first time I interviewed you guys back in 2019. Is that the one that you're talking about? Was it like, what was the time between you joining Goose and getting on that first tour?
You know, I'm not actually sure the timeline. I don't know if that was our first like big tour, like down to Florida, like a few weeks. We had done little like week stints here and there, for a bit, but it was just a different kind of thing. Like Elephant Proof was, you know, everyone's like passion project, but everyone had their gigs, and Elephant Proof was what we're going to do on the side to, you know, mentally keep us sane while we're playing all this top 40 bullshit and, you know, dance with somebody for like the millionth time and having to smile and do it. So that was our outlet, but it was never really set up to be able to get outside of that. Now, fortunately, because of how things are now, I mean, I'm obviously busy with Goose and not planning on doing like, you know, too extensive touring, but now Elephant Proof has a real chance to get out there and, you know, see the country and see some people and do some cool things. And, you know, we're on a couple festivals this September that I am so pumped about. Shout out to Lon Con and Resonance.
Right on. Well, so, you know, I referenced the last interview that we did, which was back in 2019, and it was right before a career defining run that you guys did. It was May of 2019. I sat down with you and the rest of the guys in the band, minus Jeff, who wasn't in the band yet at that point. And, you know, it's funny. I listened back to that interview. You guys talk about gigs like, you know, the Peach Music Fest that you went on and played. And then that set kind of went viral and it changed. Like, would it be accurate to say that that changed maybe not your life in that exact moment, but certainly the trajectory of the band?
Yeah, I think it was a 1-2 punch between Dome Fest and then Peach.
Fest was the other one. That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
I think they were like a week or two apart, and both festivals were ones that we had like pretty standout performances. And I would say it definitely accelerated the trajectory by a lot.
What would you say the biggest way your life has changed since then, as opposed to now?
I got like a really hot, awesome fiance. So that's cool.
Right.
I feel like in general, I have a lot more control of my life than I did. And I'm definitely a lot more focused on, you know, the work and the grind and not just kind of using playing in a band as an excuse to party all over the country. I think those are the biggest differences, I'd say.
Well, so you mentioned your fiance, and I was lucky enough to attend your engagement party, which was very nice. You know, small, rather not your engagement party, but your actual engagement. It was a small intimate ceremony with me, you, and about 10,000 other people at Mohegan Sun Arena.
Yes.
That was gutsy, man. You proposed to your then girlfriend, now fiance, on stage in front of 10,000 people. I, having been in that situation before, I was always freaking out about the ring. Where's the ring? I bought this thing. It's expensive. What am I? Were you playing that gig with the engagement ring in your pocket the whole time? Because that sounds hazardous.
Yeah. So I had it. First of all, just like everything that night, the one thing I felt confident on was the engagement. I was trying to kid myself, playing in an arena. Like the first time I sat down on my kit and just played like boom, boom, ka. And like heard the echo, like I was just like, holy shit. Like,
yeah,
it was nerve wracking, but that was the one thing I was confident on. But it was, you know, it was a surprise. So it was the kind of thing that I had to have the Goose production team, band members, and all the significant others to like, everyone had to be in on it to make sure she was where she was supposed to be, right, to make sure we had the photographers where they're supposed to be, everything. And so, yeah, it was a total shock for her. Like, she should have seen it coming, but I had been in touch with the ring people. Like, she wanted to be part of the ring process. She told me I wasn't allowed to get a ring without her.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
all right.
She knew it was coming eventually, but I had gotten in touch with the ring people and had them lie to her saying that, like, something happened with one of the machines and it's not going to be ready until like sometime into March. So she wasn't even thinking about it. But the people who made the ring ended up coincidentally being Goose fans who had already had their tickets to Goosemiss and were at Goosemiss. And if Sam had run into them there, it would have blown the surprise.
Oh, even no shit. Yeah.
At all. so yeah, but I mean, luckily it worked out well, and you know, we're still happily engaged as far as I know. So yeah, things are
right.
Good.
So to get back to you've got the new album, which is coming out soon, Drip Field, which is going to be out on June 24th. And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first album that you guys didn't track at Factory Underground Studios in Norwalk. Everything before that had been out of Norwalk Factory Underground.
Yeah, it was a combination of Factory Underground and also just like Rick's mom's house in Norwalk.
Right.
But yeah, this one was a way different setting with an engineer that just like blew us all away and is our favorite. And I think I can speak for everyone when we say we're very, very excited about this album. It's work that we feel very proud of.
So how did the new environment like influence the sound of the album, like, or does it at all?
Yeah, I think the setting influences, but I think even more than that was working with the engineer, Dan James Goodwin, just working with someone with such an extensive knowledge and, you know, coming from an outside perspective, was really, really huge for us. Cause a lot of times we're so like honed in on what we're doing that you have someone who's such a genius musically, who's like, you know, stepping out and looking at everything as a whole. You can just like end up going in so many more directions. I feel like he was able to bring things out of us that we didn't think were there. like, for example, just, you know, a song that we played 1,000 times, we'd kind of start and you'd be like, okay, that's cool. But then you'd be like, okay, what about this? Like, think about, like, you know, think about this while you're playing. And we're like, huh, like, interesting. And it's just like, all of a sudden, right then, right away, it's just like, we all start to do something that, you know, maybe, you know, wouldn't have been thought of initially. And then this spark happens. And then all of a sudden we're like in this whole different world sonically. Right. And it makes it really exciting because we've had some of these songs we played a lot now.
I was going to say, there's a bunch of songs on this album that, like, for people who have followed the band for a long time, like, I've heard Arrow a million times, and, you know, Slow Ready in a good way, I say, by the way, you know, like, but like Slow Ready's on here, Arrow, Honeybee, 726. Like, there's a bunch of tracks that fans connect with and have a certain image in their head. Like, was there any pushback from you guys? Like, no, we need to do it this way. Or were you 100% into it from the get-go?
No, 100% into it. It was really, like, refreshing and exciting just because of that reason. A lot of these songs we played for a while. And when you go into the studio, like, you don't want to feel like, okay, like, here's the job, I got to lay it down, that's it. Like, you want to feel inspired. You want to push everyone to really create something you're proud of. So it was a cool experience and, like, a very unique experience in every song. And, like, you know, with Arrow coming out, people finally heard that one. And it's just, like, it's like an Afrobeat song. It's like totally, totally different.
Did you guys really drop all the pots and pans on the ground? Well, I heard a story that was how you got some of the hits, was just by clanging pots and pans.
Yeah, those intro hits. We basically I think there was just like one room mic, and we each stood in different parts of the room with like a collection of objects. I think I had like a tambourine and like something random, like some musical items, some like random things from the kitchen, whatever. But like, we literally just, you know, we had our cans in, so we could hear the cues, and we all dropped them. So the point was to like really like flam and get this like kind of big, wild sound.
Oh, you get it, man. You get it. If you haven't heard the new single Arrow from Goose streaming right now, you got to check it out. And it is, it's a monstrous sound. Afrobeat. That's what I was trying to identify. I was listening and I'm like, what am I hearing right now? It's like, yeah, a Fela Kuti vibe.
The Fela Kuti, like, yeah. Tony Finn is like the legendary Afrobeat drummer. And so I was definitely doing my best to try to channel my best Tony Allen right there.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the album's a blast, or at least from what I've heard of it so far. And I'm enjoying the new take on the new songs, man.
Oh yeah, I appreciate that, man.
I feel bad. I'm taking up a bunch of your time, but let me just ask real quick. You know, now that you guys have a larger fan base, do you ever go on, I mean, like a large fan base at this point, do you ever go on to chat rooms and forums, you get your Facebook page, El Goose, and like see what people are saying about you? Or do you try to just put that out of sight, out of mind?
Yeah, I check it out. I'll check out El Goose. I used to check out like the, you know, like the Fish, like fantasy tour boards and Reddit. And I used to check more now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the time or the need to anymore. I mean, I honestly, for the most part, would check things out because I think it's hilarious, like the people ripping on us. Like, I don't get offended by that. I think it's funny. I think there's like a lot of just like really like sad people home that are bored, and it's like you see this, like the way the fans treat you, it's like you're this unknown band and people like you, and they're like, okay, you're cool to like, but then when you get up to here and more people like it, then it's cool to make fun of you. And like, if you want to do that, like, cool, bro. Like, have fun making fun of us online. I don't give a shit.
I mean, it's got to feel good to be at the cool enough to make fun of stage at a certain level, right?
Yeah. And I think I have a pretty decent sense of humor, and I can take a joke, and that's totally fine. You know, when I see people that really, you know, don't have as thick skin getting made fun of and getting trolled, it bothers me, you know, for sure. But there's not really much I can do about it at this point. It's just like the internet, when you get that many people online in a space, like you're just going to have like a handful of assholes. And then you have those assholes and you have other people that defend it because they're good people, but don't realize that those people are just trying to be assholes, and it fuels it. And it's like this whole thing. So
all, like, they're doing is feeding the shit talking at that.
Yeah. I mean, like, hats off to Bruce and the moderators for dealing with that. But yeah, I mean, like I check things out. Yeah, I try to, if something really catches my attention, like if I see something really cool or like someone that's really stood out for doing something like amazing or like a really good person, like,
yeah,
I'll reach out to them, like, and hook people up. Like, I definitely take mental notes. If like someone's being a huge dick, like again and again, odds are I'll probably recognize your name. And if you hit me up or like Goose asking for something, like you're not going to get it. So right. I think the lesson is like, just be nice and it'll work out for everyone in the end.
Don't be a dick online. That's words to live by right there. Where does the, I always see, it's so funny because like just watching these forums progress, you get all these like inside jokes. You guys all have nicknames and stuff. Yours is Spuds. Where did the name Spuds come from? I feel like I'm a bad Goose fan for even having to ask that question. But if I'm going to ask anybody, it might as well be you.
No, I mean, like the simple answer is that I love potatoes and eat them every day. They're my favorite food. It's my comfort food. It comes from, you know, when I was a picky eater when I was younger, and I used to just bake potatoes with a bunch of cheese and butter or my comfort food. And now here it is years later. And, you know, we have on the rider at these venues, rusted potatoes, Parmesan cheese and butter. And I'll like, you know, the people will come back on the bus after the end of the night and they'll open the door and like right away smell that I've been cooking potatoes. And it's just, I don't know. It's just my comfort food and I love them. And, they're, I think, the greatest food to have ever existed.
That's the 100% best reason to have that nickname. I gotta let you go, but Goose live at Westville Music Bowl, May 27th and 28th. I'm so excited for this show. Everyone at the station is talking about it. What can people look forward to at this show?
I mean, I'm not going to give anything away in terms of content or anything like that, but I will say for us, these are local shows. We've got all of our family and friends coming. This is like my favorite new venue. I love the people running it, like everyone, the whole staff. It's just one of those places that there is not a bad vibe in the building. And when that's the case, we come out to play. And that's the plan. I cannot wait to get back into touring everything. And it started off with, you know, the local shows, play these shows and then be in my bed with fiance and dog within like 15 minutes. And like, that's
gotta feel good.
Yeah. That's amazing. So yeah, I can't wait. We're pumped to play. We got a lot of work leading up to it, but I'm excited. And I think everyone else is too.
Goose live at Westville Music Bowl next weekend, man. Congrats on all your success, man. It's so well-deserved. You guys have worked hard and you know, I'll be out there. I'll be in that lot talking to all the guys who went to Goosemas like 2016 at Bryak about how we knew y'all back when. We're gonna go have that favorite conversation.
Hell yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for coming out. Thank you for having me. Always nice talking to you, and you know, look forward to catching up in person sometime soon.